This is the Ontario Family Law Podcast, featuring issues related to marriage, separation, divorce, and even some child welfare issues. It's a companion to the book, A Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available as a paperback or ebook at Amazon, Kobo, or the Apple iBookstore. My name is John Schumann. I'm a certified specialist in family law, and I'm a family litigation lawyer, mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer, and I am the partner leading the family law group at Devery Smith Frank, LLP. Today on the 31st edition of the podcast, we look at why it is necessary to have a lawyer even if you're going to mediation. After separation, many couples choose to go to mediation rather than to court to resolve the matters between them. That is an excellent choice. However, that does not mean that they never need to see a lawyer. Under Ontario family law, it is necessary for both parties to seek independent legal advice about their settlement if that settlement is to be enforceable. The question is often asked whether the parties or separating couples should see their lawyer before or after they do mediation. In this edition of the podcast, we have a special guest, family mediator Todd Slonim. And as a mediator, Mr. Slonim is going to explain why you need to see your family lawyer before you go to mediation. As he puts it, going to mediation without seeing a family lawyer is like playing dodgeball blindfolded. Here is family mediator Todd Slonim.
Today, I'm going to be talking about why going to family mediation without consulting a lawyer is like playing dodgeball blindfolded. Legal knowledge and clarity of process. Lawyers provide critical information about family law concepts and how the law applies to a party's specific circumstances. So it's critical that a party understands key concepts such as property division, child spousal support, custody, access, parenting issues, and their interrelationships. These are very complicated issues, and if you're going into a mediation without this knowledge, you're doing yourself a disservice. Lawyers help to assess legal issues and provide advice. We set out a framework for advancing the issues at mediation. We clarify why mediation is being considered. Are you considering the mediation for cost and efficiency, control of the process? Is the case appropriate for mediation, i.e., is there domestic violence issues? Are there power imbalances that might make process inappropriate? We're going to explain the purpose of mediation, what it is, what it isn't, what needs to be accomplished. The idea here is to ensure that you are greatly informed. We'll provide insight about mediators' approaches to the mediation process. Every mediator has a different approach, and they approach cases very differently. It's important to understand how to present information that will be best received by the mediator. We're going to review and explain the mediation agreement. Mediation agreement is a fundamental document that sets out the terms of the mediation. So we're going to explain what issues will be discussed, what won't be discussed, is the process open or closed, what are the implications of that designation, how will costs of the process be shared. We're going to explore issues of vulnerability prior to the process. Is the party capable of engaging mediations right now? What does the party require to feel confident in the process? So we're talking about support systems. Perhaps you actually need the lawyer to attend with you. Is your position reasonable? We're going to help you understand acceptable ranges of settlement and avoid unreasonable positions that can affect a party's credibility. We'll provide perspective to a party so that a position makes sense. We also understand the emotional dynamics. We provide advice and structure that are not affected by the current turmoil that the party may be in. We help guide parties towards resolution. A party needs to understand the possible outcomes, advantages, and disadvantages of settlement positions. A party needs to understand the effect of different positions, what makes sense for his or her family. We want to manage a party's unrealistic expectations. We want to move a party away from an all-or-nothing approach to an approach that looks at the particular issues critically. While going through the mediation process, you might come up with a particular settlement, and we want to understand if that settlement will last. So do the terms of an agreement make sense? What is the effect of the terms on the family? Paperwork is crucial and must be completed critically. Productive, informed, and meaningful mediation is impaired by lack of preparation and disclosure. The efficiency and cost of the process can be undermined. Mediation is not effective without clear documents. Now, I've presided over many mediations, and one of the major problems I see are parties who come in with completely unprepared and documents that just don't make sense. unfortunately, you're doing a disservice to yourself because you're trying to advance an argument, you're trying to be clear, you're trying to be concise. If you're confusing the mediator or your documents don't support your position, you're undermining a very cost-effective process. Mediation briefs that clearly explain issues and positions are effective tools to advance a framework for settlement. Disjointed arguments, lack of support for positions, creates confusion and undermines a party's ability to advance their position effectively. Now, where a lot of this comes into play are financial mediations, and there are many documents that require the assistance of a lawyer. So, for instance, swore family law financial statements with supporting disclosure, net family property statements, which compare both parties' financial statements to look at aspects related to an equalizing payment. Support calculations properly prepared to deal with child and spousal support and their interrelationship. Personal corporate tax returns, financial statements, valuations, and appraisals. This is all very important when we're dealing, for instance, issues of pensions, restricted stock units, and other issues. These documents are often very complex. There are tax considerations and other considerations such as contingency fees and discounting. The lack of clarity or proper preparation of documents could negatively affect the outcome of a resolution. Inaccurate values and values outside of ranges may produce results that greatly disadvantage a party. So lawyers have experience to understand case law and the variability of that case law to your specific facts. We provide different approaches, and we help design unusual or usual resolutions that will be respected and enforced. And this is critical. So, for instance, if we're talking about issues related to spousal support or creating special provisions around child support, these terms must be crafted and explained carefully to help support the reliability of the agreement. Do the terms accord or conflict with legislation? These are very serious considerations, and ultimately, a lawyer is the individual who will help you and guide you through this process. Inevitably, we help settle cases, or at least mostly settle cases. We have expertise in negotiations, we advance strategies to assist the resolution of the issues, and we understand the cost, and we try to do things and move issues in an efficient way. We can be used throughout the mediation process. We can be used at the beginning, we can be used during, after. It really depends what the needs of the parties are, how complicated the case is. Inevitably, when parties go to a mediation, and if a settlement or terms of settlement are reached, a document called a memorandum of understanding will be produced. That memorandum will go back to the lawyers to be expanded upon and developed. Each party is going to receive independent legal advice, and we're going to make sure that the individual party understands the terms and the concepts that are in that expanded agreement. If they don't understand, then we'll provide the context. Inevitably, lawyers are a critical resource to help resolve issues. Without guidance, you may be walking into a minefield. So the idea here is to ensure that we want each party to promote the negotiations, make sure that it's free from coercion, undue influence, and other problems. You don't want to walk into a mediation unprepared, and the lawyers are here to help you, provide guidance, and ensure that you have a clarity of the process. The blindfold is off. I hope you come and see us. Take care. Thank you.
As a family lawyer, I like to see separating couples resolve the matters between them in the way that is best for them, especially if that way is less costly, less emotionally taxing, and easier on the children. But one thing I do not want to see is separating couples who, after having worked out a settlement of their affairs, have to go back and argue about those same matters over and over and over again, because they did not get it right the first time, or they need changes. Having that ongoing battle is harmful not only to the separating couples, but also especially for their children. For that reason, getting a lasting separation agreement is critical, and to do that at mediation, Mr. Stoneham has explained why it is good to speak to a family lawyer throughout the process. This has been a special family mediation edition of the Ontario Family Law Podcast. My name is John Schumann. I'm a family lawyer practicing in Toronto, Ontario. You can reach me by calling 416-446-5847 or at our website, which is www.devrylaw.ca. That's www.devrylaw.ca. Look on our website or on iTunes for many other podcasts in this series, and additional information on family law topics. We will talk again soon about other family law and child welfare issues. Thanks for listening.